few years ago, John Ogilvy had a chance to do one of those things that had been on his bucket list for his lifetime. He had a chance to go and spend several weeks visiting his family's homeland in Scotland. It was something he'd always wanted to do because he knew that was where his heritage was. And so he got to spend several weeks exploring Scotland for himself. He got to meet some very colorful people. He got to see some sights. He got to be involved in a lot of activities that had been planned. But he said the most memorable thing that happened to him while he was there was that he visited an ancient Scottish castle. And he roamed around from room to room and thought about what it would have been like to have lived in the days when people needed those castles for security and for strength. And he said, as he was wandering through and following the tour through the castle, they came into one particular room. It was an old armory. And in that armory were all kinds of suits of armor that had been used by the people who were protecting the castle during those days long ago. And he said he looked at all of these suits of armor, and then he looked over on one wall, and there was a shelf, and on top of that shelf were a row of helmets that represented different periods of Scottish history. And underneath the shelf, there was a plaque, and this is what it read. It said, "Mind your head and serve the king." Mind your head and serve the king. That's not just good advice for warriors from a bygone age. It's good advice for people today who are committed to following Jesus. Mind your head and serve the king. That's really the reason for Vacation Bible School. The reason for Vacation Bible School is that we want our children to come. We want them to have a wonderful time. They're going to have great recreation. They're going to have wonderful snacks. They're going to enjoy being together. They're going to learn a lot of things. But the most important thing they're going to learn is, what does the Bible say and how does it apply to my life? When we talk about true north, we're talking about pointing toward Jesus and the Word which points us toward true north. When it comes to following Christ, the Lord wants us to live with confident faith. And confident faith always comes from a confident mind. So this morning, I want us to look together at Proverbs chapter 3, the verses we read together a few moments ago. And I'm going to challenge you. Mind your head and serve the king. How do you live with a confident mind planted in Christ Jesus? Well, that's what I want to talk about for a little while this morning. So let's dive into what God has to say in His Word. And the first thing He says is this: mind your head and live with a confident mind. What does it mean to live with a confident mind? It means a mind that is led by Christ, committed to Christ, and empowered through Christ. It means recognizing that what I have up here between my ears, where you have a lot more than I do, is where I consecrate and commit myself to Jesus. You know, most of the time when I lead someone to know the Lord Jesus as a personal Savior, I'll talk about committing your heart to Christ. My guess is that most of you, when you became a believer, probably had someone who did exactly that, who led you and talked to you about committing your life to Christ and inviting Him into your heart to be your Savior and your Lord. And that's exactly what you need to do. But you also need to invite Him into your mind to be your Lord and your Master, your King, and the one that you serve. When we come to Christ, we come to Christ with our whole self. But it's our mind that matters, because that's where you make your commitments. That's where you grow in God's Word. That's where you decide you want to follow Christ. You see, it's not enough to think of your relationship with Jesus as a heart thing. It is also a head thing. What you feel is important, but what you know is critical. It's like going to the doctor. You go to the doctor and you say to him, what? This is how I feel. when I think about myself and my aches and my pains or something that's wrong, I say to the Lord, to the doctor, this is how I feel. But the doctor will take their training and their equipping and their study and their experience, and they will say from their head, this is what I know is going on in your life. This is what I know you need to do in order to make yourself well. See, there's a heart thing. This is how I feel. But there's also a head thing. This is what you need to do about it. The Bible makes it clear. The Bible says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. I'm bringing my mind under discipline to know what God says and why it matters in my life. The Christian faith is a head faith as much as a heart faith. We know the Word, we apply the Word, and we follow the Word in our lives. Listen to me this morning. Never, never let anybody accuse you of practicing a blind faith or equating Christian faith with some sort of superstition that has no substance in reality. We can be absolutely confident that what we know is true because our confidence in Christ is established on the true and trustworthy Word of God. You've heard me say it before. You'll hear me say it again. This book is the only eternal thing you can touch with your hands this side of heaven. There is nothing else you can touch that will be absolutely true all the time, every place, for everyone. It never contradicts itself. It's never contradicted by the natural or scientific world around you. The Word is God's revealed and unchanging truth. What makes it so distinct? If you take any other realm of knowledge, whether you're talking about natural history or whether you're talking about scientific knowledge or whether you're talking about the practice of medicine or anything else, one of the things you're going to learn is, as time goes by, usually very quickly, all of those things, all of those realms of knowledge change. If you buy a scientific textbook that was published 2 years ago, it's probably obsolete by now. But the Word of God stands forever. It is unchanging. If we ask ourselves the question, when was the last time somebody edited and revised and updated the Bible? The answer would be never. Never. It is God's revealed Word. Truth is truth. That's why it's so critical for every one of us to know there is some time in my life, not just on Sundays, but on a daily basis when I expose myself to the eternal Word of God. You need to make sure there is that time and that place where you are letting God speak eternal truth into your soul. And if you don't have anywhere to go and anywhere to study, if you'll meet me on my porch about 6 o'clock in the morning, I'll be glad to sit with you and we'll study God's Word together. If you bring a dollar, I'll give you a cup of coffee. We need to be exposed to the Word of God. You know, one of the constant commitments we make at this church is a very simple thing. We call it Sunday school. What is Sunday school? Sunday school is that place where God's people gather and talk together about Scripture and learn what the Bible says together. whether you're studying the Word alone, whether you're studying in a class, whether I'm standing and preaching, and you need to make sure what he's telling us comes from Scripture. The Bible is the thing that guides our mind. And the more you know the Word, the more your mind is established on His truth. Long ago, Solomon set out on a quest for knowledge, and he explored every kind of life you can imagine. He explored wisdom, pleasure, achievement, scholarship. He discovered each one of them can only take me so far. And then he concluded this, but in the end, it's all vanity, because that's as far as it can go. What did he conclude? This is what he said. I know that whatever God does, it shall be forever. Nothing can be added to it, and nothing can be taken from it. God does it that men should fear before Him. I discovered we have a word, and you can't add to it, and you can't take from it. But you can grow through it. We grow when we find our strength, our confidence in the Word of God. And then Proverbs tells us this, and mind your head and know what you believe. You know, we're living in a unique time in the history of this nation because we seem to be living during a season when uncertainty seems to be the only certainty that most people embrace. They begin to think everything is relative. Nothing is generally accepted as being something that's true for everybody, everywhere, all the time. Values are relative. Morality is relative. Convictions are relative. Even facts are relative. What is right for you is only right for you. What is right for me is only right for me. Good and bad are interchangeable with one another. We seem to have reached a point as a society when we're like the man who got lost in the country and he stopped to ask an old farmer for directions to where he was going. And the man said to him, well, just about any road will get you there eventually, but none of them will get you there directly. That seems to be the way the world's working these days. It's impossible to live confidently in a world where everything is true. And nothing is absolute. And this is what Proverbs reminds us of. You need a center of certainty in your life. Proverbs 3:21 says, my son, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. Know what you believe. God wants you to know what you believe because a confident mind gives you security. Insecurity can cripple your spiritual confidence. Insecurity can take away your sense that there is a right and there is a wrong, there is a good and there is a bad, there is a God and there is one who reigns in heaven supreme. And when you begin to drift away from that certain knowledge that you have a Savior who has died so that you might have everlasting life, you begin to drift. And nothing's right. And nothing's good. And you don't have anything that you can cling to. And you find yourself drifting through life. God wants you to have security. He wants you to know what you believe because a confident mind gives you security. God wants you to live with a bold faith, confident about what you believe, confident about your personal salvation, confident about taking a stand for Christ, confident about sharing your faith with others. Confident. God wants you to have the security that comes from knowing I am established on the truth, and it is the truth, not just my truth, not just your truth, not just somebody's truth. It is the truth because it was established by God Himself. And we can depend on it. and we can walk in it. And God wants you to know what you believe so you can stand strong in your faith. 1 Peter 3:15 says, "Always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you." Be ready when it's time for you to take a stand. There's strength when you know that you know that you know that what you believe is true. And you can build your life on top of it. And God wants you to know what you believe because it provides protection. Remember, one of the Bible's primary names for Satan in Scripture is the deceiver. The one who fools you. The one who draws you astray. And he's constantly questioning your faith and seeking to cause you to reject the truth of God's word. And if he can get you to reject the truth, then he can distort the truth. Which is exactly what he tried to do with Jesus in the wilderness. He seeks to twist the truth in such a way that it sounds right, even though it's wrong. And we're tempted and we tell ourselves things. We say, if God didn't want me to do this, I wouldn't have the desire to do it. Or we say to ourselves, God will understand if I want to do things my way instead of his way. Or we say to ourselves, I don't really need the Lord. I can do this all by myself. When you're confident in God and in his word, you're protected from the destructive influence of the enemy. There's a reason that the Bible describes the temptations of Christ in the wilderness. And one of those reasons is simply this, because every time that Satan tried to tempt him, Jesus responded. How? With the word of God. He didn't argue, he didn't reason, he didn't dispute. He simply said, has God not said? There's protection in knowing what God is saying to your life. And when you know what you believe, God gives you direction. It brings God's guidance to bear on everything in your life. Dating, marriage, parenting, work life, decision making, lifestyle choices, ethical decisions, whatever it is you're facing, whatever's going on in your life, it's here somewhere, waiting for you to discover it. Too many sincere believers experience chaos in their lives because they make decisions without seeking his leadership above everything else. You still do what you feel and not what you know. Faith is guided by impulse instead of obedience. But we make critical decisions when we ask, what does God say about this? And we make a simple decision. I will trust and obey. I will trust and obey. But Proverbs is not finished yet. It also says this, mind your head by recognizing opportunities instead of obstacles. Recognize when God is opening a door rather than feeling as though your life has been paralyzed by the obstacles in front of you. Matthew 16 tells about a life-changing encounter between Jesus and Simon Peter. You remember Jesus is teaching. He's preparing his followers for what is yet to come, for his arrest and his crucifixion. And it's more than Peter can stand to hear. And he blurts out, this shall not happen. And instantly the Lord rebuked him. And he said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You're not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. What was going on? Peter didn't understand what the Lord was doing. Peter could not see beyond the crucifixion to the resurrection. He focused on the problem, suffering and death. And he could not see the promise, eternal life through Jesus Christ. And you and I can be just like Peter. We see with an earthbound perspective. Life is full of obstacles. They can drag you down. You have to avoid them at all costs. But God calls us to see with an eternal perspective. Obstacles are opportunities to trust Christ. Jesus tells us clearly, in this world you will have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Don't be afraid. Stay focused on trusting Him. Trust God and act boldly. The Bible continues. It says, mind your head and depend on the Lord. The Lord has promised to lead His people if they will believe His word and follow His guidance. Isaiah 42:16 reveals a powerful promise from the Lord, because that's where He says, I will bring the blind by a way they did not know. I will lead them in paths they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked places straight. These things I will do for them and not forsake them. God, guide your mind as you confidently trust Him at His word. You allow it to give you guidance, to show you His standards, to reveal His truth, to offer His leadership. It tells you specifically how He wants you to live. And God will lead you in paths you have not known by revealing His way so that you can follow it. And God guides your mind as you confidently listen to His leadership. As you pray and seek His guidance. You know, too often we think of prayer as talking to God. And that's all it means. I pray, I talk to God. But genuine prayer also means I listen when He talks to me. What a simple thing it is to rush into a room, sit down in a chair, and say to the Lord, okay, here's what I want. I need this, 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 and this. This is going on. I'm thinking about this. Leave me with this. I need to know this. I'll see you later. And we're gone. And the Lord is saying, let me tell you. Wait. Listen. Don't be in such a hurry. I loved Alton's testimony a while ago. We're waiting for God to show us what to do next. You know what you call that? Real prayer. I'm waiting for God to lead me. And God guides your mind as you confidently listen. It's not a matter of telling Him what to do. It is coming to Him with your needs and your fears and your hopes and your broken places, recognizing He loves you more than anybody, and asking for help, and then listening as He responds. And He guides you. So what are we supposed to do? Mind your head and actively surrender to Him in all things. That's why Isaiah 26:3 promises, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in who? Jesus. You will keep him in perfect peace who trust actively in Jesus. You actively trust him as Savior and commit your life to him. You actively trust him as Lord and follow where he leads. You actively trust him in all your ways, and he shows the path. What's the Bible saying? Mind your head and serve the King. Mind your head. Know what God says in His Word. Mind your head. Make a decision to trust Him before the decision has to be made. Mind your head and commit your ways to following where He leads. Mind your head, serve the King. Maybe you're here this morning and you have not surrendered your head or your heart to Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, but you know you need to. In a moment, we're going to stand and sing an invitation hymn. This is your chance. If you just meet me here at the front, just walk this aisle and come, I will be glad to introduce you to the Savior so that you can have an eternal relationship with the King. Or maybe God's calling you to be part of this church, or maybe there's something else the Lord wants you to do. We're going to stand and we're going to sing. As you deal with the Holy Spirit in your own heart and life, you come. Let's stand together. Let's sing. Been a really good day in God's house. I'm glad we got to share this time. Let me remind you again, we won't be doing an evening worship time tonight because, well, downstairs is Alaska. So it's going to be a wonderful time. We're looking forward to a great week of Bible school. You be praying for our children and all of those who are going to be part of what God is doing this week. Let's bow together for a closing prayer and then one final song. Father, we do thank you that we can have a confident mind because of a confident faith in a trustworthy Lord who establishes us in His Word and gives us the ability to trust and obey. So, Father, bless us as we follow You. In Jesus' name, amen. Great.